Or we could do like a Lily FOMO episode, all sorts of stuff we're gonna plan to watch without her, and just like,
oh, that's pretty good. That's just a Lily FOMO episode is
Lily
pretty
FOMO, and then just be like, and then we'll see if the next time we record, if there'll be like a test, like, does she listen to her own podcast?
I mean, Lily does. She
Because
misses
then
us.
she'll come in really hot the next time, super mad at us of all the stuff we're gonna watch without her.
Lily definitely listens, which makes two of us. Here we are, and welcome to a Lily FOMO edition of the Friday Night Movie Podcast, because Lily's too busy for the show this week, Becky.
Lily, yeah. She's...
I mean, she's only flown back and forth to the United States. She's running her martial arts championship.
To be clear, just on Lily's travel, I just want to say that while, yes, she's flown back and forth to the U.S.
Twice in like the last month.
I still feel like if you calculated all of her travel hours, we've done more on the Acela. We've done more on the train.
But fair enough. But we don't have to change time zones. We don't have to change time zones.
No, we don't have to change time zones.
But we're...
It's a day trip for us. And it's like a minimum of like a... If she was just flying and not spending any time here, it would be 3 days.
It's so much time that Lily insists on showering in the airport, which I brushing my teeth at a urinal is the only thing that would make me feel more gross than showering in an airport.
So I had this conversation with her as she was leaving New York to return home from her last trip. She was debating, because her flight was in the evening, but we had to work all day, and she was really debating what to wear, because she's like, I don't want to wear my travel clothes. I want to be in my work clothes, and then I don't want to get my travel clothes all dirty because I'm going to be in them for like 24 hours. And I was like, Lily, just take a shower at the airport and change. And you know what her reaction was? Oh my God, of course I can shower in Newark airport, you know, which is, I think, is what everybody thinks
of
themselves
in the Newark airport. Like, what is that? Just sounds like taking one of those like baths where you splash yourself with like the Penn Station water. You know how when we go to Penn Station, and I don't know about on your side, but whenever we go to the bathroom and
don't
Penn
touch
Station,
anything. Don't touch anything.
At 9 o'clock in the morning, every stall is full and the door is closed.
Don't touch anything. No, to be fair, she's showering in very nice lounges, but that happened to be in the Newark airport.
No. The lounges, there's a... the lounges, this is not a Delta lounge we're talking about here. I don't know how to get access to a Delta lounge. I've never been able to do it. These are regular lounges she's in. There's a lot of... It's gross. Anyway, so, but Lily,
She knows to wear flip-flop in the showers.
Yeah. She knows to... So we're going to dedicate this episode to Lily, our sister, by making her have a lot of FOMO.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about her, and we'll talk about all the things that she doesn't like, but it'll also kind of make her jealous, because that's how you get her to do things, because she's afraid she's going to miss out.
Yeah. I mean, you can get Lily to do, I mean, for a kid who doesn't like to leave home and has a lot of anxiety, you can peer pressure her to do quite a lot.
She's almost unpeer pressurable, except by the two of us
when she feels like she has FOMO. I mean, look, I mean, I can't get over how many times she has traveled back to the States to hang out with us in the last couple of months just because of her FOMO.
Yeah. I mean, also because of her work with us on the movie. Like, we shouldn't discount.
You know, I like to think it's mostly for me, not that, you know,
she didn't want to miss the fun,
immovable work ethic she has.
So let's talk about things that Lily hates first. Lily.
Things we never get to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of things like Lily. I feel like Lily isn't super committed to like sort of sci-fi and superheroes in general. Like, I feel like she just doesn't, she's over it. But I want to talk about, have you seen the trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine?
You know what? Here's what happened. Yes, I did watch it. I watched it, but at the very end of the trailer, when they were like just kind of showing you extra jokes that are going to be in the movie, I stopped watching because I want to wait to enjoy the jokes for the first time in the movie. So I didn't watch this. There's like, they show you the trailer and then they show you like a little some extra bits and bobs.
I hope those jokes are in the movie. I hate when trailers show me stuff that doesn't end up being in the movie.
No, so that's why I didn't watch the whole trailer because I was like, oh, I just want to enjoy the funny moment in the movie instead of when it gets that moment in the movie. I'm like, oh, I knew that was coming. But I saw the trailer, but I don't, I have two main questions. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy we're doing this. I have two main questions. First, I have no idea what the plot is. Like, based on this trailer, it doesn't make any sense. It
seems like another multiverse.
Yeah, it seemed like another multiverse. Like, you saved your world, so now you have to help me save my world. I'm like, they're in two different worlds?
I like that. It seems very simple. All we really want is Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds on the screen kicking butt together.
Right. It didn't bother me. I didn't understand the plot, but I watched it being like, oh, I have no idea what this is about. The second is that ever since the Logan movie, now Wolverine can be R-rated. Like, he can now be an R-rated character because now he curses and drops F-bombs and stuff in this. And that's like, since Logan, he now got the pass to be an R-rated Marvel character.
Yeah, right? Because Wolverine, I would say of the characters, if you look at the source material, Wolverine, more so from a violence standpoint, has always been much edgier than the rest of the X-Men.
No, I understand that, but I just mean like, otherwise, the X-Men. Wait.
Yeah. No, so you're right. He's been
like,
sort of soft launched.
All the X-Men movies aren't R-rated.
No, they're PG-13. Is right. He has been soft launched into a world of cursing and uber violence.
Right. So now it's like, because Logan was R-rated, and that was like the first one that was his first. You know, that was like a transition. That's like a tonal shift. And a rating shift for his character. And then now it's like, oh, he can be a Deadpool because we already established the fact that he can like go darker and grittier and more violent.
And to me, sounds like they're just using some multiverse nonsense, right? Like, they're just paying, like, forever. The end game and Quantumania.
But like, are they in two different universes?
No.
Wolverine and Deadpool? Like, what is
Wolverine
this?
Wolverine and Deadpool are in the same universe because Deadpool always jokes about how he doesn't have access to all the top tier X-Men, like Deadpool 2. But it's unclear if the Wolverine in this movie is the Wolverine from Deadpool's universe or it's a Wolverine from another universe, because I'm pretty sure the Logan Wolverine is a different, or ostensibly a different timeline. That is a single story of the end of Logan's life, but it doesn't necessarily need to be the end of Logan's life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Also, I dare you to read the comic book version of Old Man Logan. There is some seriously gross stuff in it that is not in that movie.
No, thanks.
There's a whole family of incest Hulks that exist.
What do you mean, incest Hulks? Why? Like, why do we need incest Hulks?
I don't know, but his main villains in Old Man Logan at the end are like Bruce Banner and like his inbred children.
Okay.
Super gross. But yeah, I'm super excited for this movie. And I don't need to know much about the plot. The last one had time travel and all this other stuff.
The last one had time travel. Wait.
But I'm very attached
to Time Traveler. Wasn't it Josh Brolin?
Yeah.
But he also plays Thanos in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. I don't know if, Thanos is, actually, I don't know if he's dead. So yeah, I guess he plays two characters, but they don't look the same.
No, I know they don't look the same, but like, but will, how much more crossover is there? There's no, even though they're both Marvel, there's no crossover. Aren't they eventually going to like cross over the X-Men and the Avengers?
Disney now owns it all. And they've had this kind of messy Marvel phase 4 with all the characters that sort of are not Captain America and Robert Downey Jr., right? Because those two are out of it. So you've had like one Thor movie that I really liked. And then I'm the only person who loved Ant-Man Quantumania. Seen it like 3 or 4 times, but
I
in general,
saw it with COVID, which helped it make sense.
in general, you're looking at a Marvel Phase 4 that has been like marked by weird Scarlet Witch stuff. Elizabeth Olsen's a great actor, but like nobody cares about Scarlet Witch. If anything, Scarlet Witch's most compelling story is that she is an X-Man. Like in the X-Men timeline, she is the X-Men, and she does this crazy thing called the House of M, where she eliminates all of the X-Men's powers like overnight, or kills all the X-Men overnight, whatever it is. It's like this crazy event.
So she's a villain?
She's always like kind of, she's a good guy, but one of those good guys with a lot of power.
And is her...
In fact, there's a
Is her dad Magneto?
Originally, when I was growing up, her and Quicksilver were Magneto's kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems they've abandoned that. I don't... It seems they've abandoned that. It seems that is no longer the story.
All right. Well,
anyways, it seems like, especially after Chadwick Boseman died, which is so tragic, because I think he would have been the perfect guy to kind of be the lead, yeah, you know, like the main Avenger, right? Like him, right, with a little comic relief from Paul Rudd, like, and then Thor, like that would have been incredible. And the Guardians, right? The Guardians of the Galaxy would have been perfect. But now the Guardians of the Galaxy have basically closed, except for, you know, they might bring him back here and there, but their story's over.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That movie was amazing.
Yeah, that was really good. Guardians
3. So he passed away. Then you have Jonathan Majors, right? Mm. So you lost the main villain that was supposed to be for the next phase. It seems like they're just treading water for the X-Men. So Wolverine couldn't come fast enough.
Like Lily's going to be mad at us, because as much as she doesn't like the comic book superhero Marvel stuff, she loves Ryan Reynolds. She has always been a fan. She never stopped being a fan. And I know she loves the Deadpool movies because she's such a Ryan Reynolds fan. Wait, does she love the Deadpool movies? Maybe I made that up.
I don't know if she knows. I don't know if she likes them. I've seen one of them with her. But what she'll also give her FOMO is we talk about not how much mom loves Ryan Reynolds, but how much mom loves Hugh Jackman.
Mom loves Hugh Jackman.
Mom is going to Australia next year on her like dream vacation. It's already been postponed multiple times. On her dream vacation. And I'm pretty sure she just sent the tour guide links to Hugh Jackman movies and said, make it be like these Hugh Jackman movies.
Yeah, pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the instructions that for the tour are to...
They're like, The Greatest Showman takes place in the United States. She's like, I don't care. I want to see The Greatest Showman. She's
like, I'm pretty sure we can find something.
Take me to the farm in that movie with Nicole Kidman.
No, I think they're literally doing that. Am I doing that with them? Ugh, I don't want to think about it. I don't know where I'm going. That's like one of those things. You just close your eyes and take a leap, you know?
So what else would Lily have FOMO about if we talked about? Lily would have FOMO if we... You finally finished True Detective season 4, right?
Yeah, I have... I didn't... You know what?
Lily will be annoyed if we talk about it with her not being
on the
show.
I did not listen to your episode about it, but hot take, perhaps. I don't know how other people felt. I felt the ending was like, wasn't really moved by the ending. I was like, oh, okay. So the ghost talked to the group of ladies, and then they, I don't know. I just was into the ending.
I think, and this is where I think understanding things is overrated. I didn't catch that I didn't buy at any point that any of the supernatural stuff was real and supernatural.
But like, it had to be because her ghost told those ladies to go kill all the people in the research station.
Maybe.
Otherwise, why would they know to kill all those people in the research station? That makes no sense. They would literally only know if the ghost told them. And I'm fine with the ghost talking to people. And I like the end ending of the two detectives and like we assume, you know, and like there's like that final shot and ambiguity. Is she alive? Is she dead? Whatever. Like, I love that. I love that part of it. But like the reveal of how these guys died was just like, okay. It was like not, I don't know. I didn't find it that scary.
My prediction that it was Mother Nature on many levels was correct. That's
all. Yeah, it was say. Basically. Like, that's more interesting. I think I would have preferred if it was really supernatural, like it went crazy and like a ghost controlled them. And like I think that would have been better for me.
I wanted hard science at the end of this. It's called True Detective.
No, but then I got like a real answer and I was just very like underwhelmed by it. So, but other things, Lily would be very annoyed if I was talking about this on the podcast. All these women in my life have asked me to watch this show called One Day. Have you heard of this, Shai?
One Day. Does this have Glenn Powell in it? I just assume anything like that with that title.
No,
is this the Before Sunrise one where it's like it takes
it's like
place
once a year? You like check in with these two friends.
I want to shout out to Katie Jones. I'm pretty sure you know the Katie Jones's method for watching all TV shows is 1-3-7-5.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't watch the even number episodes of shows.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure she watched One Day but has missed whole days.
Well, you know what, if she missed whole days and she caught the right, so like it could go either way. If she caught the storyline of just the male character, then the ending would feel pretty satisfying. If she caught the episodes with the female character, then the ending would make no sense. And this is my problem with the show and why I ultimately, while episode to episode is like well done and they're good episodes, but the overall package and the ending it gives you is such a letdown. While I really have a theme today, I'm not impressed by people's endings, is that the whole show is a two-hander where you're following these two characters evenly and you're following their arcs evenly. And then at the end, they kind of like burn the female character in order to like give
not
them
physically.
No. They just like, they do her dirty. Like they just basically like at a certain point in the last episode, they're like, oh, we're just not going to finish her story. Like they literally don't finish her story as a device so that they can like, can I ruin it for you? Do you care?
I do not care.
I'm good. I'm going to ruin this for anyone who's not listening. So in like the very last episode, for absolutely no reason, with like no breadcrumbs or anything whatsoever, they literally just kill her off.
But like dead?
Yeah, like dead. Like they just kill her in partway through the last episode so that you can see how the guy in the relationship is able to be a good person without her. And you're like, well, that's weird because you just spent like 12, 13 episodes developing her storyline. And then instead of giving her a satisfying ending, you kill her off so that you can give him a better ending. Like it was so, I did not like it. I was like, I wasn't even sad. Like everybody's like, but you'll sob and you'll cry. I was watching it going, I'm not sad. This makes no sense. This is just like weird tragedy for tragedy's sake. And I was like, I felt completely unaffected by her death because it literally made no sense. You go from like one scene and you're dealing with stuff with the characters and then she's dead. And you're like, what? So I didn't like it. They just like kill her. They're like, oh, we're just going to have her get hit by a car and she'll die and we just won't finish her story. But we'll finish his story. He's more important. I just thought it was like very weird and uneven, the ending.
So not even like a, what's her name from Mean Girls, epilogue.
No.
Where she's like now on the field hockey.
No. They just are like, and then like the whole last episode is like the guy being really, really sad. And then like, look, he can be happy without her. And you're like, well, that's shitty.
She's happy alone at the end.
So then he's just like alone, but like happy with him. But he can be a good person without her, I guess is the lesson. You're like, well, what about her? Can she be a good person without him? Because she's pretty shitty the whole show, too.
Right, because it's not like it's a true story. They don't have
to
kill
her. It's not a true story. They don't have to kill her. And, like, they're both basically, they're both, like, shitty in different ways for the entire development of their characters. Like, they are different things. They're shitty in very different ways. He's shitty because he's, like, selfish and obnoxious and self-centered and stuff. And she's shitty because she's, like, insecure and really, really mean. And then, like, they finally become a couple. And then they're great together. And they're great to each other. And they grow as people. But then they kill her off in order to prove that even without her, he can still be a good person. He doesn't continue to be shitty. And you're like, well, you could have just done it the other way, too. You could have killed him off and shown that she can be a good person without him.
So there's a couple of movies that are out. I'd love to talk about this. The movies that are out. The one I really want you to, with your husband, watch Sasquatch Sunset.
No, you I'm not. Have no, to,
with your husband, no. please.
I will let him watch it, and it I will sort of mill around it. I will have him watch it, and I will mill around in the background, like doing dishes or but cleaning.
He
or,
likes
like,
artistically weird.
No, no, he can watch things. It. I'm not watching it. It sounds horrible, Shai. It sounds horrible.
Oh no, it's just in the theater. It's not on demand yet. Okay.
Oh, so I can
go to the theater and see it. Okay.
I'm not wasting a babysitter on that.
But what did come out on demand is this movie Late Night with the Devil, which is starring David Dachmalchian. He played the polka dot guy in the Suicide Squad. You recognize him. He's got like really serious eyebrows.
He's great. He's in other stuff.
This movie has been getting a lot of hype by really like this one. I'm very excited to see this one. It's a live broadcast of a late night talk show in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms.
Have you seen the preview for? Have you seen the preview for this new? I guess it's kind of like a horror thriller movie, Trap, starring Josh Hartnett.
Trap or Trapped?
No, I think it's called Trap with Josh Hartnett, or maybe it's called Trapped.
I have not. I thought
but I don't think Josh Hartnett's in two movies called Trap or Trapped. Like whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Trap. I didn't know Josh Hartnett was making a full comeback.
Making a full comeback because
Do you think he's cheapening his Oppenheimer appearance? We got Oppenheimer. What was the other one I saw him in?
He's leveraging that Oppenheimer appearance.
No, Ruzdiger, as I saw him in.
Ruzdiger. So he's in this preview, and I have to tell you, it's a really good. The preview sets it up. Like the preview in and of itself could be like a short film with a great twist.
And Haley Mills from The Parent Trap is in it. I'm already sold.
In Trapped?
Yeah.
Trap or Trap, whatever it's called.
Oh, and it's an M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, the preview is like, it could be a standalone thing. Its own little...
I don't want to watch the preview. I just want to see it now.
Don't watch the preview because I actually was very impressed with the preview. And I was like, ooh, this is terrifying. I want to see it.
Like, Shyamalan's been getting some mojo back in recent years. I know like not every movie is going to be perfect, especially when you've made as many as this guy has made. But, you know, Split was cool. And...
Yes,
Glass
was cool, but that's from a while ago, no?
Yeah, but that's 2016. I mean, it's not like that easy to make a lot of.
All right.
And sorry, go ahead.
No.
What else would bother Lily that we talk about? I mean, we could just talk more about Lily.
Yeah, I love talking about Lily.
We just saw her. We had a lot of fun hanging out with her. We watched a lot of SNL clips together. That was pretty fun.
That was really
Lily's. Fun. It's funny to see over time how Lily's English has dissipated.
Oh God!
From speaking Spanish all the time, she makes up words all the time. That's
she makes
great.
Up words. She says weird things in like a weird translation. I mean, I'm always excited because for the summer because I've been spending this will be the third summer in a row, kind of the fourth summer total where I go. And I spend it with Lily's family in the Canary Islands. So I'm really excited about that. We don't really get to ever see any movies, though. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, it's getting harder in our old age to do this. I mean, I've been keeping it up with my kids lately, but it's a lot of work.
Here's the thing. I see a ton of kid movies. Like, I see every single kid movie that comes out because I take my kids to
the movies. Have you seen any good ones lately?
I mean, the only one I would actually, so I see a lot of them and they're entertaining for what they are in the moment with my kids. Like we enjoy them, but they're not ones I come home and be like, oh, you got to see it. Except, and I've mentioned this before and I talked about it on the pod, Wonka is now on streaming and I really do recommend it.
Okay.
But it was very whimsical.
Now that my kids have officially grown out of wanting to see every animated movie, like it being a given, we're like, oh, the animated movie's out, we can see it. I'm pleased. Like I saw Mario. We got halfway through Ninja Turtles. I was really liking that, but I'm not dying to go see.
Right. See, like I,
whatever
you didn't
the
have,
next
you didn't have to go see Migration and Kung Fu Panda 4. And right. like, I've seen all of those. Now there's this Mark Wahlberg and a dog movie coming out called Arthur the King that my kids have seen the preview for, and they really want to see that.
Arthur the King.
It's about a guy running a race and then becomes friends with the dog, and like the dog gets sick and then he takes care of the dog. I don't know, like Mark Wahlberg becomes friends with the dog and they run a race and like
Well, it's got Simu Liu
somewhere together. Right. No, it has like a cast. So I don't know what the rating is, but I think I might have to take them to see it.
That sounds, I mean,
I mean,
I'm
it's got to be appropriate for them because we saw the preview.
It sounds like the dog's
going to
die, though.
Either the dog's going to die or he's going to sacrifice winning the race to save the dog. But it's based on a true story, so I might just look up the true story, and if the dog dies, we won't go see it because that's like a whole thing I can't deal with. Yeah.
And what other shows have you been watching? I've got two episodes left to
show. Shows.
I have two episodes left of Shogun, which has been just fabulous. Everyone should check that out.
Is it really good? Because I couldn't get through the first episode. It was so gross. Like all their
most of it's
so
not
gross.
Violent. A lot of it is more like internal politics. There are some grim moments, some peak moments, but versus, let's say, Game of Thrones, I don't think Shogun is excessive. I think Shogun uses them really effectively. But you know, I read that book years ago, and I can't tell if it's different. When it's done, I'll read one of those different from the book. It feels like they're emphasizing slightly different things than the book, but I it's fantastic.
So I've been on the recommendation of our dear friend, Kristen Farnham. I've been watching this show called Bodies, which is
not Three Body Problem and not Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Different. I know, right? It's so confusing. And it's a crime.
Time travel thing, right? I saw the first episode.
It's a crime like time travel-ish show. Like the characters aren't time traveling, but it's a crime show, but it's taking place across four different timelines across like 160 year period. It's like you're following it in 1890, 1940, 2023, and 2053, something like
that. Is it Jack the Ripper?
No, it's not. It's not like a cult leader. Ooh. And it's somewhere between extremely interesting and so confusing I have to turn it off. Like there's just certain episodes where I'm so confusing, so, and I can't remember who's, and I, you know, I'm so good at that. Like
I know you watched the Witcher, you're like, the only person I know that understood the Witcher,
right? Like I'm actually really, really good at following the complicated timelines, and I just am like, who is he, alive in the same timeline, or is he time traveling, or is it a relative? Like I don't understand. And I get really frustrated and I turn it off. And then like 2 days later, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to finish that episode. I get to the end of the episode. I'm like, oh, that was really good. And I start a new one. And then 15 minutes in, I'm like, no, I have to turn it off. I'm too annoyed. I don't understand what's happening. So I have a love-hate relationship with Bodies. But I think for certain people, it's like, I know mom and dad loved it. And like, and I do like it. But I would only recommend it to like people who are into like crime drama, old timey London, and time travel, like
definitely
very specifically.
Jack the Ripper did it.
So it's Jack the Ripper.
We've been watching. So, you know, what do they say? A door closes, a window opens. R.I.P. We just heard. So help me, Todd got canceled.
I know. I heard you're
my
so
kids
sad.
Have I mean, for the amount of times my kids have watched and rewatched that show, I feel like that show could have kept going. They have watched those episodes so many times over and over and over again. I really hope it ends on a good note, so at least the two seasons that they did of the show are really well kind of wrapped up. But I would love a sort of Columbo-style movie of the week once a year or something like that with that, because I love Skylar Astin in this, and with Oscar winner Marsha Gay Harden. Like, they're hilarious together. And it's definitely
a
throwback.
Mashup.
It's just like a throwback, the mom and the son solving mysteries together. It's not complicated.
So like your
but
dream job, like if you could just hang out with mom all day and solve mysteries, that's what you'd want to do.
Yeah. And
oh, yeah, it's because you like, you know, it's like a Veronica Mars situation.
Exactly.
All the mysteries with your parent.
And it's fun, and it's a show I could watch with my older kids. Like, you couldn't watch it with little kids because there's always a murder or something like that. But it's such a fun show for the family to watch as the kids are being more sophisticated because we talk about the mysteries. They love the characters. And then, but right around the same time, or right around the same, this season, they premiered a show called Elsbeth, which is like the third spinoff of The Good Wife.
Wow, they're still making spinoffs?
Yeah, and this one is a total procedural. Oh. It's not like a more complex drama about Elsbeth Tassioni, who is a great side character. And the woman that plays her, name is escaping me right now. She's so great.
She was on Preston. True Blood. Yeah, I think that's her name. She was on True Blood.
She was in The Holdovers, too.
And she's in The Holdovers. Yeah, she was perfect in The Holdovers. Yeah,
Carrie Preston. So she's amazing. And it's very much like Columbo. Not like Columbo the way Poker Face is like an updated Columbo meets Tarantino. It's like Columbo. You find out pretty early so far, as I've seen in each episode, who the villain is. And then it's about how she outsmarts them with her sort of folksy, playing dumb, kind of tenacious ways of solving the mystery. And that is definitely scratching this will help me Todd it. Because again, this is a mystery show I can watch with the kids, 10 and older, right? And it's just an amazing break from the previous era. The other thing that
like
my kids,
a good background show while I'm like doing dishes or
yeah. Or when, if you're hanging out with my kids, it's fun to watch. It's definitely a show we would have
watched. Yeah, I was hanging out with your kids the other day and we watched like a few episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And like, I watched that show when it was first on, but I only have seen each episode once. So I don't really remember any of them. And it was so much fun to rewatch.
Now my kids watch it 24 hours a day to the point where they've done this to me with many shows where I can't look at it, but it's such a great, I was the earliest adopter.
I remember when they did that with Parks and Rec.
Do you remember when Brooklyn Nine-Nine came on and I was the first adopter of that show? I was like, I am all in Andy Samberg in a show, Police Academy vibes. I love that show.
It was the algorithm. It was your algorithm. Yeah.
And it holds up, and it's totally a Parks and Rec type of show because it has that sweetness about it.
Yeah. Like, there's no one, it's not like The Office where, like, some of the characters are just, like, so mean or terrible.
Yeah. Like, Scully
they're dumb Hitchcock and gross, but they're not mean.
Yeah, Hitchcock's, like, worse than Scully, but, like, ultimately, that's the worst you got there.
Okay, can I ask you a different question, though? Have you actually seen Three Body Problem? Three Body?
No, because I get a little anxious when something is as hyped as it is, and I don't know where to find it, and I usually know where to find it.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix?
I'm pretty sure it's just Netflix.
And are all the Euphoria kids in it? Is that why people like it? Like, who's in it?
I have no idea. I know, I from the preview, I recognize one guy from Game of Thrones that's in it.
Oh,
the one that plays
Jon
Snow's best friend.
Oh, this has nothing
to
do with the Euphoria kids.
No, it's from the guys that made Game of Thrones. So
a fateful decision
a
made in 1960s China reverberates to the present, where a group of scientists partner with a detective to confront an existential planetary threat. That's what this is about?
Yeah.
That's like not what I expected. I thought it was, it's from the Game of Thrones guys.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I honestly, I really didn't know what this movie is. I thought this was like some sort of mystery with the kids from Euphoria in it.
No, that's because you're thinking bodies, bodies, bodies. Put Three Body Problem. It probably was called Benedict Bodies, Wong. Bodies, Bodies. And then someone was like, there's already something with that name. And they were like, we'll just call it Three Bodies.
Well, it's got is that Davos of whatever from?
Yeah, it's got a bunch of the guys from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I love that.
Obviously,
guy.
It's like the people that they liked working with the most got cast in it. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
It's like in the fourth Matrix, how there's just like random Sense8 people in it because they're like, these are the people we like the most from Sense8.
That is a plus in that.
Now you know whoever is in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies from Game of Thrones probably have the best personalities and are the most fun to work with.
Ooh, Jonathan Pryce, the guy who played the Sextant. That guy is great. Ooh, there's some really cool people in this. You know, I'm so worn out from the Expanse, which was so good. I don't know if I'm...
Ugh, the Expanse.
CCH Pounders? I mean, there's great people in this.
You know, they really left the door open. There could be an Expanse movie with some follow-up there. What happened to the guy from The Expanse?
They ended it in such a good spot.
But what happened to the guy from The Expanse? How come we don't see him in anything?
The guy who was War and Peace in the Sky High.
What?
Sky High is a movie about
a high school
for superheroes starring Kurt Russell.
Oh my god.
And
that's amazing.
And is it Kelly Preston plays
that's
the
hilarious.
Mom? And but, Bruce Campbell's in it.
No,
and
the
Dave
one that
Foley.
Plays the main guy.
Yeah. And he plays in this like the brooding kid who you think is a villain and ends up his whole arc is him becoming best friends with the main character. And
Steven
becoming...
Strait, the one that plays Jim
yeah.
Holden.
And
what
look,
else
he
is
played
he
in? War and Peace in Sky High. That's like the other big thing.
What do you mean
for?
He played War and Peace?
No,
that
War
was
and
his
Peace is
character's
the name of
name?
His superhero character.
What year is that movie from?
2005. Wow, it's actually, I thought it was in the 90s.
Really
but it's
old.
2005.
Okay, so
Danielle Pennybaker is in it, who is in The Flash.
But I don't think he's been in anything since The Expanse.
I mean, maybe he's just like chilling back in Canada or wherever.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is he, oh, wait, hold on a second. Now I've got to like double check all of
wait
this.
A minute. What's The Expanse One Ship?
What's that? It sounds like
an anthology of short webisodes of The Expanse, all relating to the doctrine of One Ship. What?
Yeah, there you go. War and Peace. He played War and Peace. Yeah, you got to see this picture of him when he was young.
Which piece? Which picture?
He's like your kind of stud.
But how old is, like, I feel
I don't
like
know
that
what his
confuses
age is.
Me.
His age
he
is very
seemed really
mysterious.
Young in The Expanse. But maybe I think any, maybe just because I'm now old enough that it's hard to tell how old people are anymore.
Well, this has been fun. A nice little catch-up episode in the midst of what has been a crazy few weeks. Wishing people a happy Pesach.
It has.
And
oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about Passover. Jeez.
Oh, let's talk about that with Lily next week. Let's review Passover.
We're not gonna do FOMO. That's gonna be that mean. We won't leave her out of the Passover.
Yeah. Plus, I want to hear about her crazy Passover because Lily has now.
Right, she looked like she had so much fun.
Lily's living this like wild world with like all these Jews that have appeared where she lives now after
it's so cute knowing
any. And I feel like it's more. I mean, ours was fun. I mean, me bringing the dog to Passover is a good cliffhanger.
Whoa. I think that is not an accurate statement. You did not bring the dog to Passover. Your brother-in-law chauffeured your dog to and from Passover.
Right. But I, against everybody's wishes, brought him to the Seder with 31 people and another dog that I was told would hate my dog and try to bite him. And all of those things came true. And I had to like hold Rocket on a leash throughout the entire Seder. And I just want to say that Uncle Mario was right. Mindy was right. I should not have brought Rocket
to the
Seder.
That's an I told you show for you. However,
he was very sweet and cute,
Rocket wasn't the problem. He was not the issue. Okay. We'll just leave it at that. But I am actually really happy you brought Rocket because I have a new appreciation for how snuggly he is. He was so well behaved with me and in the apartment, and he was so snuggly. He curled up into the tiniest little donut and just slept at my feet all night. And I just like, I got a lot of good puppy
snuggles.
He's
very snuggly at this phase.
And then driving him home to from Philly, he sat on my lap in the car for 3 hours.
Very nice.
Yeah. He's very sweet. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Right.
Had some good dog therapy. All right. This is a fun couch up.
Have a great week. Thank you everybody for listening.
Should we like plant one little Easter egg for Lily just to see if she listens?
What could we possibly say to her?
I don't know. I just wanted something that'll get her like riled up.
I mean, just, you know what? Tell Lily that if I had a sound effect, I would put a fart sound effect in this episode just for her. We'll see if she...
All right. You have to fix your soundboard. Put in some new effects. All right.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Friday Night Movie, the sibling rivalry and pop culture podcast. Join the Friday Night Movie family by following at Fry Night Movie on all of the socials and visiting our website, frynightmovie.com. Our theme song is by What Does It Eat? And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.